Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
A very warm welcome and good evening. Welcome to Saturday Sport Classified on Manx Radio AM 1368. I'm Rob Pritchard, and over the next hour with our team of correspondents, we're going to be taking a look at the footballing action that's been taking on Ireland this weekend in what is the final Saturday Sport Classified of the current season. We'll also be hearing from our rugby and hockey correspondents, Dave Christian and Ben Cunningham, respectively, as they reflect on what have been two busy seasons in their respective sports as well. But for the final time this campaign, let us take you through the latest classified sporting results for the Isle of Man from today, Saturday the 16th of May 2026. And they are as follows. Starting with football. The Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. Corinthians 8, St George's 0. Ardern and Drongan Limited Division 2. Maloo 8, Douglas and District 1. Maroun 9, Governors Athletic 1. Ramsey Centre and Old Boys 3, Castletown 2. And in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas today, Isle of Man Women 2, FC United of Manchester 1. Those are your classified sporting results for today, Saturday the 16th of May 2026. And just a reminder for those looking to tune into Manx Radio Gold, that is continuing right now over on Manx Radio's digital service. Head on over to www.manxradio.com, select the Listen Live tab in the top right corner of your screen, and select Listen to Digital to stay tuned into Manx Radio Gold. And here on AM 1368, we will be rejoining Manx Radio Gold at the conclusion of this programme. As always, to take a look through the latest footballing action today is our football correspondent Tony Meppam. And Tony, final Saturday Sport Classified of the season. I bet you'll be glad of a good rest over the summer.
Yeah, it's been a real struggle this last month or so, Rob, trying to get all these fixtures in. We're nearly there, but we're still not there with the Paul Henry Gold Cup, are we? Because the way the results have gone today, we still haven't got our four teams. So we keep going. We've still got next week, and we've got the Hospital Cup final on Saturday, and hopefully the Women's FA Cup final on Sunday, the other semi-finals tomorrow.
Excellent, thank you for that, Tony. So let's take a look through the five games across all competitions that have taken place today. One of those are friendly, which we'll get to in a moment, that involved the Alabama Women's National Team today. But turning first of all to the competitive action that has taken place today, the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup semi-finals. Now, where this game taking place slightly later than the other semi-final for certain reasons. And the winner of this contest between Corinthians and St George's today, St George's, the last Division 2 side left in the competition, incidentally, up against the Corinthians team, ECAP, FA Cup and Railway Cup winners this season. The winner would go on to play Onchan in this year's Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final. And it is the hosts and I suppose the favourites, the vast favourites going into this one, Corinthians, that have taken victory today. They've beaten St George's by 8-0, Tony. But we were just chatting off air before and you were saying that St George's, despite the scoreline, gave a good go of it today.
Yeah, fair play to St George's, because certainly in the first 3 or 4 minutes, Corinthians could have had a couple of goals, but the goalkeeper was resilient throughout the 90 minutes, absolutely brilliant. He's not the tallest, but my word, he knows what to do. And, you know, St George's just battled right the way through. There's no Sean Quay, no Chris Bass. I thought they might have been included. But fair play to Carl Gartland, just letting the players who have sort of been there for him all season to enjoy the moment in a semi-final of the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup. But Corinthians, great goal to start it all off. Connor Clark, it was just inside the penalty area, hit it so well with his foot. And into the goal it went to give Corinthians a lead. And then after that, it was just sort of whoever would pick up the responsibilities. Josh Riding's got one, and Dan Simpson got a goal as well, 3-0 at half-time. And then straight after the half-time whistle, it all sort of seemed to go very quickly for Corinthians. Three goals in about 4 minutes, near enough. And it was Sean Doyle who got one, Dan Simpson got his second, and Josh Riding, to me, the second goal of his hat-trick was absolutely superb strike. He hit it with so much venom, and it was a good distance out, 22 yards out, and flew into the net. Josh got his hat-trick as well to make it 7, and then Morgan Naylor got one at the end to make it 8. So, you know, the score shows, you know, how strong Corinthians are, and, you know, St George's can only take heed from it and just say to themselves, we give a good account of ourselves, and we move on next season, and hopefully it goes together for them.
And from a Corinthians perspective, of course, they've just missed out on the Canada Life Men's Premier League this season after that big old tussle with Peel toward the top of the table throughout the campaign so far. But for Corinthians, as it stands, could be a treble on for this season.
Yeah, it could be, because they wrapped up the Railway Cup, then the FA Cup, and now the Hospital Cup. And, you know, that's a beautiful trophy as well. But Onchan won't be easy, because as they've showed this season, they've probably had, on paper, their best season that I can recall for a long, long time. And there's a lot of talented young players in there, and they'll be looking to see if they can outwit the more experienced Corinthians players, and see if they can take that trophy away from them. That game goes ahead a week today, 2 o'clock kickoff at the Bowl, and on the 23rd, Saturday. And let's just hope there's a good crowd.
Yeah, Corinthians to face Onchan, a reminder, in the Manx Quality Sheds Hospital Cup final this year. But again, just to quickly go back to St George's before we move on. I know you sort of alluded to this a little bit, Tony, but you know, St George's, a rebuilding season for them after dropping down from the top flight. 7 wins from their 25 league games as it stands at the moment in Division 2. But to have got this far in a competition like this, and plenty of other teams higher up the Manx hierarchy tables-wise, should we say, have dropped away at this point. But St George's getting to the last four. They beat the Division 2 champions Colby in the process as well. Do you think they'll take positives, particularly from this run?
Absolutely, because I think, you know, when Carl Gartland took over, it was, how was it going to go? And, you know, it was a sticky start. But then I think in the cup game against Castletown, they showed that they were improving all the time. And there's most of them players there, 16, 17, which is absolutely brilliant, because it gives you the opportunity to work with them. And, you know, I think the experience that Carl has gained throughout his football career is now he's filtered it through the players, because, you know, Carl's made them gel. They've had one or two sort of key players in there at times to help them. Kieran McNulty, one. Sean Quay, two. Chris Bass, three. Julian Ringham has been there right the way through it. And, you know, fair play to them for having a good go. And I think Carl can sit down. He's got two more games to go. He's got one on Tuesday against Royal, I think it is. And then they play Paul Rose on the Saturday. Still a bit to go, but take a lot from it. And as I say, hopefully they'll gain a few players next season, and that'll make them a lot stronger, and then they can improve even more.
Okay, so then moving on to the trio of games in our Dern and Drug Unlimited Division 2 today, and there could have been implications up toward the top of the table. So for those who haven't seen it over the last couple of months, it's been a titanic tussle for the final promotion spot in our Dern and Drug Unlimited Division 2. Colby crowned champion several weeks ago, but that second spot has been up for grabs, and it's been four sides for the majority of this season that have been battling it out. Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, Castletown, Pulrose United and Moran, three of those in realistic contention going into this weekend, and two of those faced each other today, and Ramsey, you sent an Old Boys and Castletown, and then Moran were at home to Governors Athletic. The implications were today that Ramsey, you sent an Old Boys, could have got themselves promoted today if they were to beat Castletown and Moran drop points against Governors Athletic. So let's take a look through some of these results. Ramsey, you sent an Old Boys and Castletown, Tony, this was the big one, because if either side took maximum points off the other today, the other side, their promotion dreams would have been extinguished. And from a Castletown perspective, it's not gone their way, because Castletown have lost out to Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys by 3-2. Castletown out of the promotion race with a game still to go. Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys are, as it stands, going up. But of course, there's another team to factor in here. But big result anyway for Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
Massive result. And we'll come to Moran later on. But certainly today, at half time, it was going Castletown's way. It was 2-1 to Castletown. And the two goals for Castletown were scored by Alex Crawley. So I think that must put him near enough in the lead for the Silver Boot. We'll get that one checked. But Youthy started strong, creating a couple of half chances through the dangerous Leighton Ballard and target man Dylan Parrish. And Town rode the early exchanges and then started to create chances of their own, with Crawley picking up the ball in dangerous areas. He's a really good player. Town then took the lead with a soft penalty that Crawley slotted down the middle. Castletown then went 2-0 up. Crawley again capitalising on some sloppy defending. But before the break, a Dan Callow long throw was flicked home by Parrish to give Youthy a lifeline there just before half-time. The second half started with Youthy a different team. Cameron Parsons was on in midfield and made a real impact. Town then lost their way and resorted to committing a high number of fouls, and Crawley then saw red for kicking the ball away, his second yellow card. Youthy responded brilliantly with another Parrish header from a corner. This time, from that point, it was all Youthy with a man advantage and going for the win. The winning goal came from Tom Hall. Long ball, 16-year-old Dylan Bullock. My word, he's had a great season. And he plucked out of the air and finished well to send the Youthy on the way to victory. Let's hope Moran will drop points in one of their remaining games to send Youthy up. Well, there's a little bit to go on that one, but certainly Moran's today's performance as saying they're not giving up without a fight. But well done to Ramsey Youth Centre. It's been a great season for him. And to beat Castan there was very, very good.
What does he think this says so far this season? Like we say, the promotion to the Division 2 promotion race, I should say, if I can get my words out, is not quite done yet. But Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, they won the GH Call at Woods Cup this year. As it stands, they're in pole position to be promoted to the Canada Live Men's Premier League next season. Things can change over the coming weeks. They've now played all their games, but especially with the win today, what do you think that says about the Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys character this season?
I think it just shows that they've got some really good players coming through, because when you look at it, they're in the semi-final of the Cal Cup as well. They've got that game on Monday. But again, you know, Ramsey Youth Centre have always been able to produce some really good players. And I think today the coaches and the whole club have had their reward given to them for what a great season, because they're in the chance. All he could have done today was win. They've done it. They're in a prime spot. And when you look at, you know, Moran, who they've got to play yet, they've got some really big games. And that one on Tuesday, I think it is, against Castan, is absolutely huge for their season. And they've been used to playing in the Premier League, but find themselves in Division 2 at the moment. And they've been really fighting hard. But it's been a great battle towards the end. It's given us headaches what to do with the Paul Henry Gold Cup, but you know, we still haven't got our four teams, Rob. We still carry on, but congratulations to Ramsey Youth Centre for the season that they've had and put themselves in the position they are.
Castletown, that now means mathematically they can't get promoted this season. I mean, during the first half of the campaign, it was a two-horse race between them and Colby, and then just seemed to drift a little bit. Castletown with some of the results, inviting the pressure back in from the likes of Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, Paul Rudge United, and indeed Moran as well. So where do you think maybe they've not been able to maybe just have the consistency they had earlier in the season?
Yeah, I don't know really, because you're right in what you're saying. At the start of the season, they looked so strong, and you could just see the players that were there were players that had been there for quite a while, so they'd sort of gelled together to make a team. But just after Christmas, it all sort of went wrong for them, and they got some defeats, dropped points. But they've had a good run towards the end. And, you know, today, OK, they've lost out, but it still shows that they're competitive, and they'll be looking to see if they can sort of maybe knock Moran off the perch. Maybe it's a horrible thing to say, but they'll be looking to stop Moran staying in the challenge, because they've still got, at the moment, Rob, they've got four to play. We've got one penciled in for Tuesday. We've got one on Tuesday, they've got one on Saturday, and then they've still got one to play somewhere, so we've got a big problem.
it's something that has to be figured out. So with Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys beating Castletown, that meant that Moran had to win, I should say, against yep. Governors Athletic today at home to second from bottom Governors Athletic today. Moran have done that. They've got the job done. 9-1 winners, convincing winners today, Tony, to keep themselves in the hunt.
Yeah, and they've done everything that's asked for them. And what a performance today by Bobby Thorne. He got a hat-trick. Conor Gilbert, who must be their leading goal scorer this season. Matt Redman got one. Dave Reynolds, an own goal. Rory Kerwick and Alex Marley as well. So terrific result for Moran. They'll keep going. They've just got to keep winning those games. But my word, there's a lot of tired legs out there, Rob. I've been speaking to quite a few players this week, and they're just glad that now their season's over. But unfortunately for Moran, Malou and one or two other clubs, they've still got an awful lot to play.
You've pretty much answered what I was going to ask you there, because obviously, yes, with Moran, so they are 8 points behind Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys as it stands now, but with nine still to play for going into that. So Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys, they've played all their games. Castletown in third and Paul Rudge United in fourth are mathematically out of the promotion race. But Moran, like you say, so to fit that many games in the space of pretty much a week as well, that's a big ask.
Well, it is. One of the games we won't get played, we know that. So the big problem is, Rob, that we've been in touch with the English FA for dispensation to see if we can continue after TT Week. We've been told we can do. So there's an option there for us. We'll discuss it with the clubs.
And that would be after
what to do
after the 2 weeks of the Alamante.
Absolutely. And I don't mind what people out there. We are not going to, as an association, play any football in practice week and TT week, because it's just not fair. If a player got injured, or just in general, there'll be teams without players. We know that. But at least we know we have that option, and we'll discuss that with the clubs. And our thanks to the English FA for clearing that up for us. But, you know, as you say, Moran have got an awful lot to play. And that game, I think, pivotal is on Tuesday, that one against Castletown. And then they'll have a game on the Saturday. And we've still got one to play, which... where we're going to get that one, I do not know. But, you know, we're trying our best. That's all we can do. But it's been so much football to play towards the end. It's incredible.
And the other game in Ardern and joining Limited Division 2, we mustn't forget, over at Clackvane in the south, the Arden between Maloo and Douglas and District. Now, Maloo have been coming into some fine form at the end of the season. Still got two games to play, mind you, as well. But it's now six unbeaten for Maloo in all competitions. They've won five of those because they've beaten Douglas and District by 8-1 today, Tony.
Yeah, and it was. And D&D's final game, so they'll be glad they've got that one out of the way. And it's been a tough old season for D&D, but they've kept going. They've been able to field teams where, you know, at times it's probably been a real struggle. And the way it was today, you know, Mac Matthews, who's another one, 17 years of age, Rob, end of season with 3 goals in his last 3 games. So it bodes well for the future. And, you know, D&D have said, incredible difficult season for us for obvious reasons, but it's a miracle we have fielded a team in every single first team Combi and Masters game this season. We also entered the Cal Cup, which just shows you they've got some good young players coming through. Although the results on the pitch this season for the senior teams have been largely negative, we will take these positives. And also what you've got to remember is the pitch. They're just doing the pitch up at Nobles Park. There is a chance maybe at the start of the 26-27 season it'll be playable. Not too sure. We'll have to see how the summer goes to make it grow. But fair play. There's a club that's moving forward. Good youth policy, and also a young girls team coming through. And I think a lot of them term 16 for this next season. So that'll be great to see them in the Women's League.
So just a reminder before we move on of teams still to play games in Division 2 with only a week of the, in inverted commas, regular season to go. So Colby at the top still have one game outstanding. They've played 26. Ramsey Centre Noblesse in second have played all of theirs. Castletown still have one to go. They're on 26 in third. Pulrose United on 25 in fourth. Moran on 23 in fifth. They're the only team, as we've mentioned before, that can still mathematically challenge for promotion. Maloo on 25 out of the 27. Douglas Royal have played 26 of 27. St George's 25 of 27, Governors Athletic 26 of 27, and Douglas and District at the bottom have played all 27. So still games to fit in there. The fifth and final game, if you like, that took place during today was a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas. Second game in 7 days for the Alabama Women's National Team after a 4-2 away victory in a friendly at Preston North End last weekend. The Alabama Women were back on home soil this afternoon to take on new opposition once more, this time in the form of FC United of Manchester. And for the Alabama Women, it's now 2 wins in 2 friendlies, 2 late goals, handing the Isle of Man women a 2-1 win over FC United of Manchester. Tony, good result.
Yeah, it is a great result. I got news through that the Island had fell behind by a goal on the 9th minute. So just thought, wow, they must be a really good team. But Isle of Man just stuck in there and did really well. I got down there at the end of the first half, start of the second half was really good. You know, the Isle of Man team playing some really good football. Good opposition to play against. And Sarah Wignall, she got one from a free kick, and the goalkeeper unfortunately couldn't hold on to it. So we're 1-1, and then Tia Lisi at the end got a cracking goal to make it the Isle of Man women's team 2, FC United of Manchester 1. So great sort of boost for the girls as they move into the Cherry Godfrey Cup in a month's time. And I think Wayne Lisi will have learnt a lot from the players over the last couple of games. Some really good young players coming through, and 2 sterling performances, 2 wins. You can't ask for any more.
And just on top of that, if you look a tiny bit deeper into that, is the fact that they've actually, across those 2 games, they've trailed 3 times and fought their way back on each occasion. Shows character.
It does show character. And what I liked about it is they play from the back, which is always nice to see, because, you know, they've got a lot of talented players on there, and, you know, some good young players as well. So, you know, they played it really well, and I thought the second half performance is one of the better performances that I've seen for, you know, a long, long time. They played good, and, you know, you all you can do is ask for the girls is now to, you know, stay focused, stay fit, because I'm sure Wayne will be having plenty of training sessions. And then when they go to Guernsey, I think they start off as favourites again. I really do, because they showed so much at Jersey when they played in the last one, that the other teams know what's coming. But I think Isle of Man women's team have stepped up.
Well, I was going to say, if you're talking about training sessions, they will have a little gap after the Isle of Man TT races before they go away right at the end of June to Guernsey for that one as well. And looking at the squads that Wayne Lisi's been putting out over the last two games as well, they've been relatively consistent. He did sort of say this before the game at Preston, that he has a pretty clear squad in mind that he wants to take the Cherry Godfrey Cup. Those will be playing these two fixtures here. So that clarity as well, not just for him, but for the players as well, maybe, is a good thing for those involved.
Well, it is. The only thing today, it seemed pretty sore, to be fair. Becky Corkish was hobbling at the final whistle. She didn't sort of play so much in that second period when I got down. I think she would be substituted, to be honest with you. You know, no doubt about it that the team is there. There's strengths everywhere. Sarah Wignall being back in the squad is brilliant. And when you look at the rest of the team, they'll work hard, because you know, there's pressure on places there now. Maybe something that wasn't there 1 or 2 years ago. Now there's a good strong squad, good strong substitutes bench and everything. So if it's not happening for you, then Wayne can bring something on and it can make a big difference.
Just finally, Tony, looking forward, are you going to be heading out to Guernsey to watch them take on the Cherry Godfrey Cup?
No, won't be there on that one. It's one of those, it's a tight trip to sort of get over there, budgets and everything as well, Rob. But we'll soon make sure the information comes back. Paul Hatton's going, so he'll bring everything back and keep us posted as the games happen.
Actually, I'm just going to lastly add something on, because, of course, we've got to remember that last night, between us speaking on Friday Sport Preview and this afternoon, we had the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup final that took place last night between Onken and Ramsey. Onken coming away as 2-1 winners, and I saw some a great stat in there, actually. Thanks, Hattie, if you're listening out there, is the fact that it's the first time Onken have won that trophy since the 1932-1933 season.
Yeah, I don't remember that one, Rob, but certainly, yeah. Yeah, it was
21st birthday that year,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It was a great game to watch, to be honest with you, and probably one of the characters in Manx footballs is Ozzie Moore. He's a massive Onken man, and, you know, he's a big guy. He plays at the back for Onken, and he scored both goals. The first one, the header was brilliant, but the second one, up the top end, where it's thrown in, and you know, Ozzie was there. Well, it was a corner, it was put in, and there was Ozzie to fire it in. He got man of the match and deserved it, because he did a sterling performance to keep Ramsey quiet. But to be fair, when Harry Blessed got the goal for Ramsey, I just thought Ramsey were on top then and could have got back into it, but they couldn't get the second goal. Some great couple of good saves by Onken's keeper, but it was Onken that enjoyed it, and I'm pretty certain into the early hours of this morning they were still celebrating, because, as you say, it's been a long time since they've had that trophy, and a long time since they've had an occasion like that. They have at junior level, but now they've got the chance also next Saturday in the Hospital Cup final.
Indeed. Well, Tony, well, this is the last time this season we'll be speaking to you on Saturday Sport Classified. I'm sure we'll be hearing plenty from you still over the coming week or so, because, again, just to point out for those who've not long joined us, the Isle of Man football season is continuing into next week. Still a couple of competitions to be rounded off and concluded, so the football action is not complete yet, but this is the last episode of Saturday Sport Classified for the current season. And Tony, well, thank you very much once again for all your efforts throughout the season, obviously, you know, collating everything. People won't see this, of course, at home, so to try and paint a picture, every single time I'm behind this desk, the speed that this man writes notes in front of me, as well as he's collating all the information, it's a, without going into too much of a reflective mode at this point, Tony, but it's been a busy season and a disrupted season, largely due to weather, but still entertaining nonetheless.
Well, it has, Rob, and I think the important thing is that we learn any mistakes that we've had this season in whatever, and we try and improve for next season. It's one of those, it's so difficult with the weather that we've had, Rob. That's the second worst winter that I can remember since I've done fixtures. And the other one was the flood. And when you look at the season before, was probably the best weather we'd ever had. So, you know, where people, I feel this year there's been a lot of criticism, certainly aimed at me as well with the fixtures and stuff like that. But I don't have the weather. The decision to play each other three times in Division 2 was made by the clubs. And we got through it. When you look at it, the last Premiership game was last Tuesday. And in theory, the last Division 2 game won't be quite, but could be next weekend. So it's only 10 days behind. I think, you know, we've been pretty close, and it's just been the way it's gone. And, you know, Moran having good cup runs, and St George's having good cup runs. Malou having problems with the pitch, and one or two others as well. It's just been really tough, but we've got there nearly.
Indeed. Well, Tony, yeah, all the best for the rest of the season, and thank you so much throughout the season, as always. Thank you very much indeed.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Well, we're now going to turn our attention to rugby and hockey. Of course, very busy across the Isle of Man throughout the season, as anyone who knows who's tuned into Manx Radio Sport, either regularly or just as a one-off over the season so far. And Dave Christian, our rugby correspondent, joins us live this evening just to take a little bit of a look back on some of the rugby action throughout the season. Of course, it has been busy both on and off Ireland, particularly for the teams involved in the English Club Championships across the water. So, Dave, first of all, very good evening. We've given you a couple of weeks off, and now we've asked you, well, we've roped you back in again.
Yeah, I was just getting used to my holidays, Rob. But no, good to be back. We've had some rugby action today as well, with the unofficial Isle of Man national team playing off Ireland. The first team have beaten Warrington, and the second team, unfortunately, didn't beat Warrington second. So the lads have gone away. Bit of an end of season rest and relaxation for them. And I think everybody will be glad to hang their boots up next week.
Actually, just on that, Dave, as well, the fact that, you know, this is the first time in over 20 years the Isle of Man's fielded national rugby sides, these two games, a win and a defeat. But speaking to the development officer, Chris Hattam, going into this weekend, he said he doesn't want this to just be a one-off. He'd like to see this national setup continue. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, we've obviously looking across at the round ball game, and we see FC Isle of Man entering into the league competition. There's been a little bit of, I call it, football envy, for want of a better way to describe it. And there are some in the game of rugby that are thinking, well, why not have an Isle of Man team? Rugby's a club competition. I think they'd need to form a new club, as FC Isle of Man have done, and build from there. So it's a bit messy. It's a little bit difficult. But it is nice to see the guys running out with the three legs on the front of their shirt. And they're obviously having a good time. We used to have regular Isle of Man tours back in the 70s and 80s. The Isle of Man national team was a bit of a feature. But when league rugby came along in 1987, it's kind of left a difficult legacy behind it, because there's not really sufficient time during a full league season to have the players devote the time and effort to training that's required to make the national team a success, or make it a big success at least. So they're being content with some end of season. It's a little bit of bonding for the players, and different players from different clubs will get to know each other a little bit better. That's a good thing. Encourages a bit more of a friendly and constructive atmosphere in the game. And of course, we're flying the flag when we're over. So on the whole, probably in my view, it's a good thing. And the players who've gone to it from each club will learn something from everybody they meet along the way. So yeah, if Chris Hattam can get the drive behind it to make it a regular thing, and there's sufficient sponsorship to help cover the costs of it, should all work. I mean, we did it in the early 2000s with Sir Michael Wilkes from Jersey. He put up the Wilkes Cup. He was the Lieutenant Governor down there in the Channel Islands, and he was a big rugby fan, so he put up the Wilkes Trophy, and the idea was it would be played annually. But after, I think, the first two iterations of it, it kind of died a death, because getting to the Isle of Man from Jersey wasn't cheap, and getting from the Isle of Man down to Jersey wasn't cheap either. So it became a little bit cost prohibitive. But I think Chris has got it right, probably. Go away and play a team around about level 6, level 5 in the northwest of the UK. Try and get two sides along. Yeah, it seems to have worked this time, and fingers crossed for him next season that it works as well.
Okay, well, taking a look back then on the season that we've just had, we'll start at the top of the pyramid, if you like, in terms of the Ireland teams. We'll start with Douglas in Regional 2 Northwest. They had the heartache of losing out in the playoff semi-finals this season to Vale of Loon. However, finishing 5th in the league, their highest ever finish in Regional 2 Northwest. It was all so rosy at the start of the season. They were leading the league right up to the end of November, and then it all just seemed to come crashing down around them for a lot of it. So they missed out on promotion. But do you think, still thinking the long term, with this improved finish this season, they may look back on some of the positives.
Oh, for sure. I've got the league table up in front of me. North Ribblesdale won the title with 92 championship points. Douglas in fifth place had 62, so they're 30 points away from the automatic promotion place. However, and there's a rather telling number here on the screen in front of me, it's losing bonus points, six. That's the second highest total of losing bonus points in the table. That means on six occasions they've lost by 7 points or less, which is really one score. That gives Phil Kringle a bit of a target for next season. If he can get that number down, we might see a bit of an improvement there. And it didn't really matter, I guess, if in this league at least, you're only automatically promoted if you win. Positions 2, 3, 4, and 5 have to go into playoffs. And that means that as long as they're in the top five, they're going to have a shot at the promotion. But to win it outright, 92 points could be the target for them. And like I said, six wins away, six bonus point wins is 30 points exactly. So they're really, really close. And Phil just needs to get that number six whittled down a little bit. Get it down by, I don't know, maybe down to three. Three extra wins would have given them third place, potentially. And at third place, you would get a home playoff match, which is a big incentive. So, yeah, Douglas, not too far away. What we'll have to see is, I mean, I've seen on the rugby press, I've seen they've been advertising for players, come to the Isle of Man, come if you're on your trip around the world or whatever, come over here, we can help you out with work, we can help you out with accommodation, and we can give you rugby of a reasonable standard. And if they get a couple of journeymen in who can just carry them over the threshold, they've got something to build on. But there's a lot of homegrown players there at Douglas as well, and of course the odd player from the other Isle of Man clubs has gone along to Portishead as well. Nathan Robson has been a massive addition for them when he left Ramsey and went up to Douglas. And one of the first names on the team sheet, can kick his goals as well as act as a scrum half. So fair play, they've got a great conveyor belt system there where they're drawing in players, whether they're growing their own, taking a talented player from another team, or perhaps picking up some from off-island as well. And that mix gives them a great opportunity to kick on forward. And like I said, losing bonus points for Phil. He just needs to get that number down to maybe three or two or three would probably be right. And they won't be too far away from promotion. And they're not far away from it this season. We just need to see what it'll look like at the start of next with the players that are leaving at the end of this one and the new players coming in next season.
Indeed. And let's not forget as well, Douglas Celts, of course, second team, if you like, over at Douglas. They've had a very successful season on Ireland, winners of both this year's Manx Cup and Manx Shield, so there has been success elsewhere for Douglas Rugby Club this season. Turning to both Vagabonds and Ramsey, competing in County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire this season. The latter of those, Ramsey, making their return to the English Club Championships for the first time in 5 years, and after what was a difficult start to the campaign, the league split. So what this means for those who don't know is that County 3 ADM Lancashire and Cheshire split in half, effectively, so that the top eight teams would then compete for the remainder of the season, what was known as the Major Conference League, and the bottom seven compete in what was known as the Minor Conference League. Both Vagabonds and Ramsey competing in the Minor Conference League, and between them picking up five victories across their 12 games. So in that Minor Conference League, I should say. So Dave, although it was a difficult start to the season, like I think plenty expected, there were positives going toward the end of the campaign for both Vagabonds and Ramsey.
Yeah, definitely. The downside to the conference structure is that none of the English clubs like it, and it won't be there next season. So it's going to be a long season. I think we've got probably 13 or 14 teams looking to go into County 3 next season. That's going to be 26 fixtures, potentially. That's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and probably a lot of money as well. So enjoy the conference while it lasts. The interesting thing about the minor conference, when you look at the league table, is between top and bottom, there's only 9 points after six matches. And that suggests that the conference system has worked really well in terms of pitching together teams with similar playing standards. And the last thing anybody wants is a mismatch. You don't want to be getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch the red eye to Manchester to come back with 116-0 defeat and not get home till 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Players aren't going to—they're not going to travel for that, and that's the danger I think that the league organisers have got to face. The teams like Bury and Fleetwood, who are in that top half and the major conference and the top half and the first part of the season, they are way too strong for some of the clubs at the bottom. And we know Vagabonds, Ramsey, Congleton, Colne and Nelson as well. They really struggled against some of those guys. We know that next season Congleton aren't going to be taking part in the league, but Ramsey and Vagas are optimistic at the moment. Vagabonds have definitely committed. Ramsey, it's going to be a financial decision and just waiting on a couple of levers that are being worked at the moment to see what they can come up with a financial plan. Otherwise, Ramsey won't be participating next season. It's been good for the players to go away, to get into the swing of the early start, late finish, and the commitment that's required to drive forward a league club. And we've got some great youngsters come through at Ramsey, Dan Kelly and Josh Kelly, who aren't related. Two 17-year-olds who played most of the season. Dan Kelly at scrum half and goal kicking as well for Ramsey. So fair play to them. And up at Vagabonds, Jack Cutts in the 10 jersey has been brilliant. He scored two fantastic interception tries against Ramsey. They've got Theo Head in there. He's been playing at fullback. Vagas have missed and will miss Cam Finley. He's left the island, gone down to Southampton to pursue opportunities new. And they'll miss him, his organisation in the back line, and his goal kicking as well. He's going to leave quite a big hole for a small man. So Vagabonds, maybe a little bit of work to do in the off-season. Ramsey, definitely some work to do in the off-season, most of it financial. But they'll be given it a go next season in whatever format this league looks like. And we're just, as I said, just waiting for a final decision from the RFU on a couple of pointers. The reason that the UK clubs don't like it is they like to have a planned fixture list. They like it mapped out for them at the start of the season. And they don't like not knowing when and where they're going to be playing after Christmas. Because when that happens, players start making plans. They have holidays arranged and all the other things in life that get in the way of your hobbies. And that makes life difficult for the clubs. The clubs like to have competitive matches. They like to have full clubhouses. They like to make money over their bar on a Saturday afternoon. And when you don't know what your fixtures are from January to the end of the season until probably the late part of December, it makes planning for things very, very difficult. So they've got special dispensation from the RFU to run a big league next season. And so it looks like Counties 3 is going to be 13 or potentially 14 teams. If you get a couple more interested, they might have to split and make a Counties 4. That would be useful, certainly for Ramsey, because it would reduce the costs. But it may be useful in terms of keeping playing standards at a similar level. And that's been a big difficulty, certainly in the early part of the season. But from Christmas onwards, really, when it's split into that conference system, as I say, six matches each in minor conference and 9 points separating top and bottom. I mean, that tells you that everything is very competitive, and fingers crossed that we can get something like that for next season. It'd be brilliant.
And Vagabonds Ladies, of course, finishing fourth in women's NC2 North-South. Before we get onto the team more generally, just a quick mention as well for those who haven't seen it as well. Four Vagabonds Ladies players have been selected to represent the Cheshire County squad up against Durham tomorrow afternoon. So we have Maisie Murray, Freya Crowe, Becca Hicks and Leona McGovern all involved. The first of those two, both Murray and Crowe, are actually in the starting 15, and then both Hicks and McGovern starting from the bench. So best of luck to them over in County Durham tomorrow afternoon. But Vagabonds Ladies, Dave, finishing fourth and in the top half of women's NC2 North South this season, and rounded off the campaign by being the only team to beat the eventual champions Sale FC 1861 women's second team as well. So positive end to what seems to have been a good season.
Yeah, I mean, the one more win would have given them potentially a promotion place. So Jack Kane and the other coaches up there at Vagabonds are knocking on the door. And if they can keep that squad together next season, it's going to be great for them. 52 points they finished with, 52 championship points. And in second place, Macclesfield, the other promoted club, had 55. So one more win would have been enough, probably, to put Vagabonds in and around the promotion places. You need to, the difficulty we're trying to ascertain who's getting promoted is it's all down into regional organizing committees and different sort of parts of the RFU regulations. So you never really know until you dig a little bit deeper. But 55 points would have given them a second place finish. And to go away in that final game of the season and win at Sale, who were previously undefeated, that's a fantastic result for the girls, and they've worked hard. They've thoroughly deserved that, and they'll be regretting the couple of slip-ups that they've had where they've lost games by narrow margins. But yeah, 52 points, that's a fair haul for the season. I suspect if you'd have offered them that at the start, they'd have took it, but it's hard to say for sure. And we've had some stars. Vagabonds Ladies have continually unearthed huge amounts of talent. Back in the day when they first got going, Fran Hunt came out of the woodwork and proved herself to be an excellent player. She still had a couple of tryouts this season as well. And on the back of Fran Hunt, we've got Isla Kerfey, who's playing at Loughborough Lightning at the top end of the women's game. Catherine Crane is also away. I think she's at Darlington Modon Park. I think Catherine, just below the Ladies Premiership. And last year we had Maylin Campbell. Now, Maylin missed the last part of the season. She's been off on an extended family holiday out in the Solomon Islands. But if Maylin comes back, her and this season's star, Freya Crowe, will be formidable on the park together. Freya's out-and-out pace, and she scored in more or less every game that Vagabonds played. And she's also played in multiple positions. She's been full-back, wing, centre, and in the back row as well. And it finally gives us probably worth giving a shout out to the other star who maybe came just a little bit late to the game for the Cheshire setup, and that's Bea O'Neill. She's started playing, I think her first game was mid-February, and she's pretty much scored in every game as well. Normally playing in the back row, she's out and out talent. Freya Crowe, you get a ball in hand with a bit of space, she's got the speed to get out of trouble. Bea O'Neill has got the pace and the power. She can break the line and carry the ball into contact and win the contact, win the collision. And that's a big thing for anybody in ladies rugby. If you can do all that successfully, you're going to make good yardage. And Bea O'Neill, when she burst onto the scene, she's been scoring in pretty much every game as well. So that'll be a name to watch out for maybe next season if she gets an extended run at it. But yeah, fair play to Vagabonds. They're finding the talent and they're developing it as well. And just outside the promotion places, they'll settle for that. Maybe a little bit more ambition next season and a bit more harder work on the training field. And they could well be looking at promotion.
We wait and see. And just finally, Dave, got around 3 minutes or so here. We must give a mention, although they are playing fewer games throughout the season, we cannot forget both Western Vikings and Southern Nomads. Southern Nomads, Manx Cup finalists, for example, this season. What have you made of the campaigns for both Western Vikings and Southern Nomads, particularly given the fact that they have more limited game time compared to other teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be difficult. And if Ramsey can't make it into the leagues next season for financial reasons, they'll probably drop into the Harford Homes competitions. That will give Vikings and Nomads additional game time. Nomads, they've done really well. You can't take anything away from them. Manx Cup finalists and beat Vagabonds and Ramsey on the way to those finals. And they've thoroughly deserved the position they got. Yes, it was disappointing for them on the day. Douglas were just a bit too strong, but they've beaten Douglas twice in the Harford Homes Manx Shield, so they didn't have anything to fear, but they just didn't quite get it together on the final day. Western Vikings are a little bit more problematical. They struggle a little bit with their player base. They've had a couple of players playing up at Vagabonds. There's a dual registration system that allows you to play for more than one club at the lower levels. The couple of guys that have been helping Vagabonds out doesn't necessarily help Western Vikings out, but they're bringing back the experience they're gaining in those league games at Vagas. And that can't be a bad thing for the rest of the Viking squad. And if they can build a little bit, get a few young players in, they've got a little conveyor belt running through their junior section as well. And with a little bit more in terms of the player base, they'll soon be a force to be reckoned with once again. Remember, they were Manx Shield winners in the late 90s, 98 off the top of my head. And that was a team that could beat anybody else. And they've got to aspire to get back to those heights again. And I'm sure they can, because they're a tough bunch out there in Peel. And if they dig their heels in, I'm sure the results will come. They just need perhaps a little bit more on the player base.
Excellent. Well, Dave, just like I mentioned to Tony before, and the exact same applies to you, thank you so much for your efforts throughout the season, bringing all the rugby action to us. So a well-earned bit of time off.
Yes, I've got my feet up. And where are we off? We're off to Galway next weekend. It's the European Cup final for rugby. It's actually in Spain, but it's a little bit awkward to get to. So Galway, a bit of a better shout.
Excellent, Dave. Thank you so much again for tonight and throughout the season.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
And finally tonight, we're going to take the chance to look back on what has been another busy and entertaining season in Manx hockey. Throughout 2025-26, there's been plenty of memorable moments, first across the mixed and indoor seasons, followed by battles across the senior men's and ladies leagues. And outside of the domestic scene, the Isle of Man has been well represented across the England Hockey Championships at both junior and senior level, including two Manx squads making the finals of their respective competitions. Well, this week I spoke with our hockey correspondent, Ben Cunningham, to get his thoughts on yet another enjoyable season.
It's been a very, very eventful one for sure, but really nail-biting. I mean, the mixed season went down to the final day of the season for most of the leagues, and then in the men's and ladies season as well, that went down to the final day of the season. It was a real close and great contest in all the leagues. And then, as you say, off island, we've had some great success with two of our island teams reaching finals, and one being successful and one just missing out.
And obviously between September and, I suppose, the turn of the year, if you want to call it that, the focus is on the mixed and indoor leagues. In terms of the mixed leagues particularly, you've already sort of alluded to it there, is the fact that a couple of the leagues were very tightly contested and well attended this season as well. It was, I suppose, what were your takeaways from the mixed season, as it were, in either the league or the cup competitions?
Looking at the league, for sure, it was great to see so many teams put through by all the clubs around the island. I think each club at least had about three mixed teams put in this season in the leagues, which made real good great contests in all the leagues. And like I said at the start there, most of the leagues, I think everyone bar one, did go down to the final day, final game of the season on the last day. As for the cup fixtures, again, because we had such a strong number of mixed teams in, it made the cup competitions in the mixed league as well really competitive. And again, another real nail-biting final day for the mixed season.
Indeed it was. And again, the indoor season well attended as well at the NSC. We must not forget that as well. That's another busy set of evenings that they have over at the NSC during the season. And after the turn of the year, the attention focused on the men's and women's senior leagues. Now, we're going to turn to the ladies' divisions first of all this time, looking at the ladies' Premier League. And obviously, the big winners, particularly in the top flight this season, Castletown, not only successfully defending their ladies' Premier League title, but also winning the Ladies' Cup this season. Another strong season for the Southern side.
Absolutely, and they were definitely pushed right to the wire. Valkyries Ladies A were really hot on their heels throughout the whole season in the league, and those two sides faced off each other in the final of the Cup. We mustn't forget that. And Castletown came out on top in the Cup final, but in the league, Valkyries drew one. And they did beat Castletown in the league, but on finals day for the Cup, Castletown came out the stronger team and took the Cup final.
Yeah, you mentioned Valkyries Ladies A there. They did only lose one of their 10 games in the Ladies Premier League all season as well. And you know, that defeat in the Ladies Cup as well is, you know, for a Valkyries Ladies A side that not too long ago were Ladies Premier League winners themselves, let's not forget. You know, still, you know, if these two teams were to be similar going into the next campaign, it could be another interesting battle when the next season rolls around.
Absolutely, and I personally hope that both them two sides keep their teams going into next season, because it was a great contest between those two sides and all the other teams in that Ladies Premier League. One thing to note as well, Castletown Ladies A, that is now 4 years on the bounce that they have retained the Ladies Cup title. Can they make it five next season?
That would be astonishing if they did. In the Ladies Division 1, it was two teams battling away at the top. We mentioned Valkyries Ladies A missing out in the Premier League, but Valkyries Ladies B won the Ladies Division 1 title, so they'll be moving up into the top flight next season, but only just. Great battle between them and Backers Ladies B, the runners-up. Just 1 point in it at the end.
Yeah, and those two sides met in the Ladies Plate final, and Backers overcome Valkyries in that Ladies Plate final. We mustn't forget that. So it was a massive disappointment for Backers just missing out on the league, but they did get Valkyries Ladies B back in the final of the Ladies Plate. But as you say, two Valkyries Ladies teams going to be in the Ladies Premier League next season.
And there'll be two Ramsey Ladies teams in Ladies Division 1 next season, because Ramsey Ladies B won Alaman Ladies Division 2. And undefeated as well. They won 7 of the 8 games, drawing the other as well. Scoring 36 times and conceding just the 8 as well. That's a real positive for the Northern club this season.
Yeah, it's been great to see Ramsey getting two ladies teams back into the ladies leagues. Of course, they did go down to just the one, but they've had a really good recruitment drive and they've now got two ladies teams. And what a successful season that Ladies B have had. Like you say, only just dropping 1 point. And that was a game, if I remember rightly, against Harlequins, which was an 8-goal thriller that ended 4-4. So it just shows how strong that Ramsey team have been this season.
Moving on to the men's leagues, and it's basically, in terms of top honours, it's all been about Backers Hockey Club this season. What a season they have had as a club there. They won all three of the men's league titles, the Premier League, Division 1 and Division 2. And here's one for you, Ben, as well. Backers A winning the men's Premier League title, Backers B winning men's Division 1, Backers Colts winning men's Division 2. And in the 30 games altogether that all of those teams played, just one defeat between all three teams throughout the league season. That's astonishing.
That is an absolute fantastic stat you've got there, Rob. And yeah, what a headline that was on the final day of the season. Backers taking both all three men's titles there. It's going to be an absolute thriller for them at the MHA Awards dinner, which is next weekend. And they will be picking up the prizes there with all the sponsors, and it's going to be a great occasion for Backers. And I know for a fact, when we spoke to the Backers chairman, Ellie Pearson-Bass, on the last day of the season, she was over the moon with the result, and what an absolute fantastic season. Another thing to note as well, Backers Men's C did finish runners-up in Men's Division 2. So it was a 1-2-3 and a runners-up. So what a season for Backers men's teams.
And particularly for Backers A and Backers B as well. They won every single game they played in all competitions.
They did indeed. They won all their games. And I mean, Backers men's A were took right to the edge on finals day when they met their rivals, Vikings A. That ended 3-3, the cup final. It went to penalty flicks. The first four penalty flicks, it was two misses, two saves for both sides. But just right at the death, when it came to down to sudden death, Backers took the victory with a crucial save.
Yeah, and Backers B, of course, the men's plate winners this season as well, after winning 10 from 10 in the league as well. A bit what we were talking about just before on the mixed leagues as well, in terms of the respective teams across the board, with the exception maybe of Ladies Division 2, which was a smaller league this season with just the four teams, well attended across the leagues again this season.
It's been an absolutely fantastic season. All the clubs, like I say, majority of the clubs have all had at least two or three senior teams in all the mixed divisions and the men's and ladies divisions. I mean, you know, we look at Castletown, I think they've had about eight teams in all the divisions. It's hard to keep up with which team is which most weekends. It does keep me on my toes, but credit to Castletown and credit to all the clubs this season. It's been absolutely phenomenal following all the action this season. And yeah, let's see what happens next season. Are we going to have another recruitment drive from all the clubs and more teams in?
And away from the action on the pitch, well, sort of in terms of on the pitch, but not in terms of the players, of course. These games don't take place without all the umpires as well and all the administrators within the respective clubs making sure everything is in order. How much work has gone in throughout the season to make sure there are umpires at every single game? There are a lot each weekend that the season is on, and also those people behind the scenes making sure everything happens.
It's been absolutely incredible watching things going on behind the scenes. Of course, for the people that come and play, they don't really see it. But going on behind the scenes every week between Monday and the pushback of 11 o'clock on Saturday, there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, making sure the pitches are ready to be used, making sure umpires are all appointed and know where they're going to be umpiring. It's absolutely incredible watching what's going on with the MHA, and things are looking really up going forward with all the divisions and everything in the Manx Hockey Association.
Yeah, and I remember you saying earlier in the campaign as well that a few more umpires had joined the Umpires Association this season as well. So that's good to know that there's new blood, if you like, coming into the umpiring side of things on the island. Away from the domestic scene, we had a whole host of Isle of Man national teams, both at senior and junior level, competing in respective competitions. And the two big highlights this season, of course, Ben, the Isle of Man under 14 boys team and also the women's over 45s team reaching the finals of their respective competitions. Heartbreak for both of them, not able to get the silverware, but fantastic efforts all round from both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fantastic to get two teams into the finals there of the England Hockey Championships, and both sides just narrowly losing out on penalty shuffles. It's just not been our year this year when it's gone down to penalty shuffles, but credit to both the Isle of Man under-14s boys and the over-45s Ireland team. They've gone there, they've done us proud, they've wear the Isle of Man jersey with pride. And yeah, hopefully maybe next year could be the year.
That was our hockey correspondent Ben Cunningham reflecting on some of the highlights from the 2025-26 Isle of Man hockey season. Well, that is just about all we have time for on Saturday Sport Classified, not just this week, but for this season. Thank you so much for joining us, whether you're listening on the Isle of Man or further afield, wherever you are. Your support and your listening into our coverage of all of the sporting action that goes across the Isle of Man throughout the season is vital and is hugely appreciated. Thank you so much for joining us throughout the current campaign. So Saturday Sport Classified will now be taking a break over the summer months before returning for the new campaign in a few months' time. The sporting coverage will be continuing elsewhere though over the summer months. Friday Sport Preview is only on a temporary break as of this week. That programme will be returning after the fast approaching Isle of Man TT races. Friday Sport Preview back on the airwaves on Manx Radio FM from Friday the 12th of June. And if you want to stay in touch and up to date with all of the sporting news and coverage wherever you are, don't forget to head on over to www.manxradio.com for all of the latest sporting news and details. And if you want to listen to anything that you may have missed over the course of today's programme, or indeed any Saturday Sport Classified programme throughout the season, they are all available as a podcast over on the podcast section at manxradio.com. So for the final time this season, have yourself a wonderful Saturday evening wherever you are, and have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. Thank you for joining us on this journey throughout the campaign. We look forward to seeing you next season. Thank you and have a very good evening.
Manx Radio Sport, brought to you by The Printshed. Visit theprintshediom.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.